You're listening to Trek FM.
This is Robert Picardo, the emergency medical hologram from Star Trek Voyager, and you're listening to Trek FM.
Hello, everybody at home, and welcome. This is To the Journey.
To the Journey!
I'm your co-host, Tristan Riddell, and with me, as always, is...
Charlynn Schmidt.
Now, this is episode 141, and you mentioned... And for those of you who are good at math, besides me, that's close to 150.
We're fast approaching that milestone, and... Whoa, have we been really recording that much? Have we done that many episodes of the show? Yes, we have.
Yes, we have. Now, I feel like we, I know, we did something special. Well, we thought we did something special for the 100th episode, but I don't think we should wait until episode 200 to do something special again. We should do something for 150. Now, we did ask, or at least, let me rephrase that. I asked people what we should do for episode 100, but then you reminded me after I asked everyone, Tristan, we already have it on the books on what we're doing.
Right. We planned it around episode 75 or something like that, because we had that long-standing suggestion, hey, you guys ought to do the Timeless commentary. So that's what we did. And then Earl Grey really played it up for their 100th. I mean, they really did some awesome stuff. So we feel really low-key compared to that. Maybe for 150, we blow it up and do something really extraordinary.
I think we should. I think this time we should maybe open it up to the public to get some ideas from them. Like, you know, and this will give us some time to plan and organize and everything like that. What do you guys think? Do you think we should do something big for 150? And don't just say, oh, yes, we think you should do something big for 150. Give us some advice. Give us some suggestions and real suggestions. Don't say like, oh, let's, you know, go to Australia and do a live show. You know, no,
well,
don't do it.
Yeah, no, we... For one thing, we can't afford that.
Yeah. That kind of stuff. Don't give us suggestions like that. But yeah, give us something interesting. Give us something unique or something that you've heard other shows do. Say like, hey, you know, Tristan, Char, maybe it would be fun if you guys did this. I'm just spitballing here, so I have nothing in mind.
We have 140 episodes in the bucket already. That's a lot of To the Journey. And I have a suggestion. I did something recently where I revamped our To the Journey episode list. Please, please, please look through that and see if we have covered your topic before, because that saves us a lot of time.
Yes, yes. It's the way that you organized it is quite nice. I really like it, how it's by genre and category and everything like that. So also, side note, this is shameless promotion time since you're talking about websites. I host another podcast called The Nerd Party. And for those of you who don't listen, you should. We have a brand new website.
And it's pretty.
It's pretty. It's minimalistic. It's clean. And I hope you guys enjoy it. We're going to try to post there more often. We just set up a blog section, and we're going to get some guest bloggers. If you would like to be a guest blogger, try emailing us at contact@thenerdparty.com and you know, send us some of your stuff, and we'll see what we can do. But yeah, I want to kind of open it up to people who want to... I want to make it a nerd destination, so it should be a lot of fun.
And it's not limited just to Star Trek. And so if you have various forms of fandom, this is a great resource and a great place to chime in, as well as the 602.
Actually, that's our only rule, is that it's everything but Star Trek.
I gotcha. Okay, so you are the anti-Star Trek.
Well, it's just, you know, like my host and I, you know, like he's on a Star Trek show. He was on a Voyager show. Now he's on he's on a Deep Space Nine show. And, you know, obviously we have a Voyager show, so we're just like, Star Trek's covered. We got Star Trek.
That's true. That's a good point. That's just like the 602 Club on Trek FM. It's everything that's not Star Trek based, because every other show talks Star Trek on Trek.fm. Now, getting back to our show.
Yeah, we should probably get this show going. Let's get the show started.
Let's do that.
So today we have a really fun topic, because it is our favorite season 6 moments. I really like doing these. You know, we love our lists. And as I said before, it is not the best season 6 moments. It's not what we think are the most important season 6 moments. These are personal favorites from your hosts. And so, Char, lay one on me. It doesn't necessarily have to be 1-5 or 5-1. It's just in no particular order. So
absolutely. It's not in order at all. And so I want to go with one of my very personal favorites, and that is from the episode Pathfinder, where Lieutenant Barclay is explaining to Deanna Troi that he's lost himself in Voyager. And I love this because I think we as an audience can relate to that to some extent. I mean, maybe not so extreme as Barclay takes it, for one thing, because we don't have a holodeck, but also because we have lives and have to be people out in the real world. But even if it's just 1 hour a week when the show aired, we let ourselves immerse ourselves in this world and become a part of the journey. And I think for us, especially as podcasters, we think about Voyager all the time. We watch it regularly so we can refresh ourselves on the details. We live in this world quite a bit, and I know that our listeners do too. Again, not as extreme as Barclay, but we're about as close as we can get without going overboard.
I think if we had the tools at our disposal, we would be as extreme as Barclay. I really do.
Think you'd like sleep on Voyager every night?
Yeah, I you know, that's seriously, like if I was not married, I would be doing that. I would be doing that 24/7. As soon as I got home, I'd be walking onto the ship of the Voyager. Now, I'm not saying that
I have to agree.
I am not saying that, oh man, I wish I wasn't married. No, I'm saying that if I didn't have the awesome life that I do now, i.e., you know, my amazing wife, I would have no excuse to, you know, to live in this world when I'm home, because instead of watching TV or watching a movie, I could go and hang out with the Voyager crew. That made my life sound really sad, but I think you guys understand.
No, I can empathize. I can see in my pre-married days, spending whole weekends on Voyager with the crew, going on missions, having adventures, and at the same time, I completely relate to what you're saying. I mean, I'm happily married as well, and I don't think that my husband would come on Voyager and sleep the night there every night. And so I would gladly trade that for the other. And the thing is, though, is I could see us doing it if we had holodeck technology.
Hardcore. Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. Do you think you would become a holo addict like Lieutenant Barclay?
Probably. I don't have, I mean, I would like, an addict never says that they have an addictive personality. Like there are things
you can
that I'm there are things that I'm absolutely not addicted to. And like my Xbox, like I'm not addicted to video games whatsoever. Do I love video games? Have I spent entire weekends doing nothing but video games? Absolutely. But I can go weeks, if not months, without playing them. No problem.
Mm-hmm. That's how I see my life, is I actually do have a little bit of an addictive personality, but at the same time, I know my limits and I know when to not push it.
Yeah, but it would be super hard with the holodeck because I feel like I would spend like the entire weekend in the holodeck, but then, you know, just go to the work week and I'm at work and I'm living for the weekend, you know?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Like the hard part would be pulling yourself away, but then once you're there, okay, fine. You're good.
Yeah.
And you can get back to reality. Okay. Well, we've talked enough about my first pick. What is your first pick for season 6?
My first pick is, I did this in temporal order, and it is episode 3, Barge of the Dead.
I knew you were going to pick something from this episode, and I left it entirely to you for reasons. Well,
yes, for reasons. I love B'Elanna, and this is the episode where B'Elanna goes to the other side in order to find her mother spirit, in order to release her from Grethor. And my favorite moment from this episode is the final confrontation that she has on the deck. And you've heard me talk about this several times before.
Yes.
I've even, written a short play based off of this moment, or I should say inspired by this moment. And it's the moment when the Voyager crew is waiting for her on the deck and it kind of surrounds her. And she just breaks down. And she says, you know, like, get away from me. And, you know, Kim says, or what? You'll kill us where we stand. And she says, tell me. She just breaks down and practically cries. Tell me what you want me to be. A good Starfleet officer, a good Maquis, lover, daughter. Just tell me what you want from me. And she, each time she says a word, it's on a different person. Like when she says Starfleet officer, she looks at Janeway, Maquis, Chakotay, lover, Paris, daughter, her mother. It just hit home for me. And I think this is a magnificent moment of a great episode.
Totally. It's something we can all relate to. We all wear several hats in our lives, and that can get very confusing sometimes. So, yeah, brilliant writing, brilliantly delivered, a very good moment, and I knew you would pick it.
Yeah, I think I have some surprising ones on here, but then I started looking at it, and I was like, these aren't surprising at all.
Well, we'll see, because I think mine are fairly... I would say they'd be very common if people all pooled together and listed their top five season six moments as well. And I don't know, though. We'll see. We'll see.
All right. What's your next one?
Well, I'm going to stick with the Deanna Troi theme because she was on the show quite a bit in that season. And I'm going to go with the time that Troi blew up at the EMH and Dr. Zimmerman in Lifeline. Like, she's there kind of as a mediator of sorts to help them work through their differences because they're not getting along at all. And then, like, after a little bit of dialogue trying to help them out, she proverbially throws her hands up in the air after Zimmerman says, please spare us your psychobabble. And she delivers it to him straight. Like, she gets real with them and she says, I came here thinking that you were opposite sides of the same coin. Identical, but different. Now I see you're both exactly the same. You're both jerks! And I just love it. Go, Deanna, go.
And she says it in that weird Betazoid accent that she created. You know, like, you're both jerks.
Yeah, thank you. You did a much better impression than I did.
It's hard to do. I don't know how she does it.
It's a really strange accent. Yes, it really is.
That she completely abandoned in First Contact. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. But it is very distinctly Deanna Troi. And I love that delivery. It's a great moment because the arrogance and the egos of both Dr. Zimmerman and the EMH, that's what's kind of standing against all good between them. And it's their own darn fault. And so she gave it to him in the raw.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Counselor Troi moments blowing up are always good moments.
Yes. Yes. Actually, she's at her best when she's not playing counselor, when she's just herself, when she unleashes.
There's this moment in The Loss where she loses her telepathic abilities in TNG, and Riker's trying to console her and does a really crappy job of it, and she just starts yelling at him, and he goes, hey, Imzadi. She goes, oh, please, and then just walks away.
Don't give me that Imzadi crap.
That's essentially what
stop appealing to my emotions.
All right, well, my next one is from Tinker Tenor Dr. Spy.
Now, this would inevitably come up on any season six list, correct?
Yes. You cannot have a list of season six without having Tinker Tenor Dr. Spy. Do you have Tinker Tenor Dr. Spy on your
list? I do. And there are so many moments in this episode alone, I'm wondering which one you picked.
Well, the one that I picked was the Daydream where, okay, for those of you who don't remember, this is the episode where the doc integrates daydream programming into himself, and he kind of loses control and he starts daydreaming all the time. And there's this one particular daydream that I feel like lots of men can relate to. And it's whether you want to admit it or not, whether you're proud of it or not, doesn't matter. But I feel like most men can relate to this. And that is the scene where they're in the conference room and every single woman on Voyager, the main cast, wants the doc and hits on him.
Yeah. Well, I'll let you in on a little secret, Tristan. I'm sure women think about sex just as much as men do. And we have these strange, stupid fantasies, too, in our own way.
Well, I'm not a woman, so I can't speak to it, but I can speak to the male mind, and it is definitely true. It's whether that's the thing is that, you know, like, you know, before I was a married man, like I didn't even have to be attracted to these women who are around me. It's just, you want to be that stud. When you daydream, you are the protagonist in all of your adventures. You're the hero, and the hero gets the girl. And what's better than getting the girl than is if all of the women are attracted to you,
right?
And
it's not
have your choice. Yeah.
One girl that maybe you have a crush on, maybe even two. No, it's all of them because you can.
Yeah, exactly. And so it was just super funny because even B'Elanna, it's just like, it doesn't, you know, wants them, and Seven does this amazing wink that will be forever in our minds. And the creme de la creme is that Janeway fakes a lower back injury
Oh, yeah.
And the doc has to rub it. And we even named one of our episodes Supreme Lower Back, didn't we? Or Extreme Lower
Extreme
Back.
Extreme Lower Back, right. Yeah. With the thumbnail of the doctor, that look he gives the camera, like, well, what am I supposed to do?
You're like, what are you going to do? What are you going to do?
Of course, you're going to take care of her. Of course you are.
She's the captain. I'm just following orders.
Yeah, I just have to do my job. A very good moment.
Yeah, that's my pick.
Yeah, okay. Well, I did not pick that moment in particular, although it did occur to me. Several moments occurred to me. The one I ultimately went with, though, was the very beginning. It was the doctor's performance of La Donna Immobile at the beginning of Tinker Tinker Doctor Spy. And I picked it because this is the initial one that draws you in and tells you that this episode is better than run-of-the-mill Voyager. I mean, it's easily one of the best episodes of season six. Has so much good stuff, and this gets the party started. Of course, Robert Picardo is amazing. This whole sequence is great. He pulls it off. The supporting cast does a great job. It's highly entertaining, and therefore I went with it for those reasons.
If I would have remembered this moment was in the episode, I would have picked it. I think that's a far better moment than mine. I don't know that moment.
I'm sure a lot of people agreed with your choice. I'm sure many other people agreed with my choice. And then there's another group of people out there saying, what about the ECH?
Oh, yeah, with the four pips that come on.
That's right. I mean, boom, boom, boom.
So many moments. Now
I know, too many.
True Voyager fans have the lyrics memorized.
Oh, I'm sure they do. And they're in my head as well.
I kind of want to hear you sing
you
these lyrics.
No, you don't want to hear me sing.
Now, if I was surrounded by our listeners, I think I would say, hey, everybody, don't you want to hear Char sing a little something? Yeah,
I am
yeah.
not caving to peer pressure. No, seriously, the only time you can get me to sing is if I'm really drunk. So, at Star Trek Las Vegas, you buy me a couple of really strong drinks, and I just might do it, okay?
All right. Well, I don't drink, so I'll be able to experience drunken singing Char in full sobriety.
There you go. So, and then if you record it, so be it, because I won't care if I'm inebriated. All right. Next pick.
This is no surprise that this is on my list, because it has to be on my list.
Okay.
Because I feel like I'm the only person who truly appreciates the beauty that is this episode. And that is episode 11, Fairhaven.
Yeah, I knew something would get on here.
My first reaction is, well, what's my favorite moment from Fairhaven? I was like, well, I'll just say all of it. You know, just the entire episode is my favorite moment. But I had to narrow it down. So I narrowed it down to the arm wrestling scene that then transitions into Janeway meeting Michael for the first time. I think that scene is pretty awesome because you get to see Tommy Boy. You get to see the doc as a priest. You get to see Kim win something for once in his life. And then you get to see Janeway, you know, have this nice interaction with Michael, and you just get you get the town, you get the spirit of the town, you get the reason why people go to the holodeck, and I think it's a fun scene. There's no laser battles, there's no drama. It's really just pure fun without being overly cheesy, and I think it's great, and it's one of my favorite moments from the episode.
Okay. Well, I can agree with that on some level, where I enjoy seeing our crew having fun.
Oh, jeez.
Don't patronize me, Char.
Okay.
I'm not.
I am too old to tango. Right now,
and you're just tearing it down. Oh, up yours. Fine. I hate Fairhaven. Up yours.
I know.
Are you happy now?
I know. I'm not happy.
Well, neither am I. This is what you wanted.
Then how about we just move on before we say something mean?
All right, good, fine. Have it your way.
This is a nice vibe that we have going on right now. This is like...
No, it's reminding me of that time on Bridgemates where you're like, tell me your favorite episode! Tell me which season! Yeah. I want to know what it is, Char! And you didn't believe me, and
no,
you know what? Yeah, you were wrong. You were wrong that time.
You mess with the bull, you get the horns. Okay, all right, let's go. Let's move on. What's your next pick?
Claws come out. I'm doing the Guinan pose right now. Okay, all right.
Next one.
We're playing this out way too much. How about a little bit of Janeway and Chakotay action, only it's not Janeway and Chakotay. This is not from an episode that I like. And I think many listeners already know what I'm going to list as my next pick. How about playwright Kellis making his Janeway and Chakotay characters kiss in his interpretation of the Voyager crew for his production? And then followed by B'Elanna's reaction to it, because what happens in this episode, for those of you who do not remember, is B'Elanna crashes on this planet that has, they do kind of, sort of like what, Greek chorus type plays for entertainment?
This is episode Muse, for those of you who are wondering, because you didn't actually tell us what the episode was.
Sorry, details. And the playwright is Kellis, and all of a sudden, he has all this vast information on Voyager to create new things, and of course, the people love it, blah, 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 and from there, watch the episode and see what happens. B'Elanna has a great reaction to the Janeway and Chakotay characters kissing. She's like, are you kidding me? That would never happen. And I love the brain interplay here, where when this happens, this moment, you know, the kiss, it's like, see, even this guy gets it, and he only has a smidgen of information on these two, and he's picking up on it. But then you have B'Elanna's reaction, and it's like the writer's jab at the relationshippers, saying, no, you're crazy for thinking that this is real, to which we relationshippers come back and say, no, up yours, you're wrong, you're not going to change our minds. You're just out of touch. So I kind of love this dialogue that we're not quite saying to one another, and yet there it is.
Yeah, it's funny because like all he would have to go off of is he wouldn't even have personal logs to go off of.
No.
So it would all just be command logs, and at the same time, even he can see, even through the command logs, is that there is something going on between this Janeway Chakotay thing.
Yeah, which makes you wonder what got in those logs.
Right?
Dude. Right. I want to read them. So, that is my next pick. What is your next pick?
My next pick is, this is a good episode. This is a solid episode, and it's episode 12. It's right after Fairhaven. It's Blink of an Eye, and it's the episode where Voyager gets trapped in the orbit of a weird planet where time moves faster than Voyager's time, and so centuries go by in hours in a Voyager time. And so with the, like, they're caught in their gravitational field and thus causing earthquakes, and they're starting to see Voyager with telescopes, so they're affecting their culture, they're affecting their growth, and which is something that the Prime Directive strictly prohibits. Now granted, they didn't do it on purpose, but and so my favorite moment is actually right at the end, where the civilization becomes more advanced than the Federation, more advanced than Voyager, and these two huge ships just come out of the atmosphere real quick and put Voyager in some sort of tractor beam and pull them out. And it's just, it was really cool to see, and Voyager got to see a childlike race grow up to something more advanced than them. And then we have those final moments where we see an old Daniel Day-Kim, gray hair, you know, wrinkles and everything like that. And he sees a shooting star, which is Voyager, leaving the system. And we see an advanced civilization in front of him. And it's just, I think it's a great bookend to the episode.
Yeah. Yeah. A very good moment to just complete the story. And it is a great episode. I really do like it, even though I did not put it on my list. And I'm glad you did.
Thank you. Thank you. Now, what's your next one?
Well, I believe this is already my last pick.
Oh, yeah. My last one's coming up. Yeah, we went through this pretty fast.
We did. Okay, it's another Janeway and Chakotay moment, and it's where they finish their dinner at the end of Conspiracy, where Seven has absorbed so much information about Voyager's journey that her mind starts basically playing tricks on her, and she starts thinking that there's more to their journey home then meets the eye, and she starts basically planting ideas in people's heads that maybe they're conspiring against one another, that things are not as they seem. And of course, it's just because her brain can't take all that information. And even though they, for just a moment, did not trust one another, Janeway Chakotay at the end here kind of wrap up their dinner and I guess make amends. Mm-hmm. Discussing like how ridiculous it was that they would conspire against the other, because they've been through way too much to break the other's trust. And once that air is cleared, Chakotay makes a joke about Janeway poisoning the coffee they're drinking, and she replies, "Oh, no more than usual," signifying that things are back to normal for the captain and XO, and I just think it's a cute moment.
Yeah, I think it's a nice moment. I think there was a lot of things I didn't like about that episode, but I did like them making up. It's always nice to see that.
I thought it was a nice way to kind of just tie the ends on that episode. I don't think it's a fantastic episode overall, but it's not bad either.
No, it's not a bad episode. I feel like this might be an episode that we could do a rewrite of.
Possibly.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not horrible, but it's not one that you write home about, you know, something like that.
Yeah, those are the ones that we pick.
You know, yeah, maybe I'm understating it. Maybe this is loved and I'm just out of the know.
I don't know. I think it gets some love, but it doesn't get tons of it. It's not an instant, "Oh, yeah, that's a great episode. I love that one so much." But people don't hate it. It's the perfect candidate for a rewrite. We got to remember that.
Well, there we go. We'll write that down.
So what is your last pick?
My last pick, and yeah, we got here fast.
We did. Warp speed.
My last pick is from episode 25, The Haunting of Deck 12.
Ah, okay.
This is another episode that is kind of like the one, like the Voyager Conspiracy, because it's not fantastic, but it's not bad either. There's a lot of great moments in it, and it's a good concept, a good story. But sometimes there's some hits and misses. With The Haunting of Deck 12, this is a really small moment, and it's not earth-shattering, it's not gigantic, it's not even that powerful. It's really just something that stuck with me for some reason. I have no idea why. But it's when, you know, the framing device that they use is Neelix telling the story of the ghost, the quote-unquote ghost, the alien, and they do it in a campfire-type scenario with the Borg children around. And the lights go out, and he says, he's like, "Oh, okay, I'll just replace the power cell. No need to be frightened." And everybody's like, "I'm not frightened. I'm not cool. I'm not frightened." And then he turns on the lamp. Really quick, but it's like right next to his face, and all the kids go, "Ha!" And he's like, "Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to scare you." And he says it all creepily and everything like that. And you know, of course he meant to scare him. And yes. I just remember cackling and laughing when that happened. Like, it was a very cathartic, genuine moment where I laughed. I was like, "Ha ha! Oh, Neelix."
Yes. That's a good moment, and I'd forgotten all about it. I'm not a big fan of The Haunting of Deck 12, so I did not look into that one too much for my favorite moments, just because it's not a favorite of mine at all. I'm glad you put it on your list, though. And you know what? I'm really surprised that you put it on your list, because this is not your favorite either.
The episode, no.
Yeah. Like, a lot of times we put this one down, and you hate the Borg kids, so.
I do, yeah.
I'm a little surprised, and yet it's a pleasant surprise.
But I love Neelix.
That is true. That is true. And it is a good Neelix moment.
Yeah.
I'm also surprised that we did not have any duplicates.
I'm really surprised too, but if I know you, and I feel like I know you pretty well, you have some honorable mentions. So how about you give us one or two of those? Ha!
Oh, you know that I do. And since we're talking about Neelix, I have another small Neelix moment. Do you remember in the episode Tsunkatsi, where he is sunburned and he's making Leola root, basically, you know, sunburn potion?
Yes.
It's one of those rare kind of slice of life moments that we get that just go beyond the straightforward actions of being on duty and the adventure of the week. Like, this is something we can all relate to, where it's a summer day and you go outside for a swim or you're on vacation. We've all been sunburned before, and it's nice to just see something real like that. And I don't know, it's a small moment. It doesn't mean much in the grand scheme of things, but it's still cute.
Yeah, absolutely. No, yeah, I love little stuff like that, because those are the things that you remember. It's these human moments that
it is.
That
it's a
really
humanizing moment.
You. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Another small Neelix one is I always loved the fact that Barclay named his cat Neelix.
Yeah. Did I tell you the story about my buddy at work? Like, he's a casual Star Trek fan. Yeah, and he named his cat Neelix, but he never actually saw the episode Pathfinder.
Yeah, that is unreal. And okay, this is more case as to why Neelix is not a rodent. Because he's a feline. Because
he's a feline.
And felines hunt rodents. So there.
So there. Case closed.
I win one.
Well, I, you know, for those of you at home, this was a quick episode, but we never try, we try to never drone on. Like, if there's, we never pad the time on an episode, because if we're done talking about a concept or a topic, we're done. We're not going to just try to add unnecessary length.
Yeah, we're not going to talk just for the sake of talking. So guess what, Tristan? We have another iTunes review.
Yay!
Yay!
Chunk Love Reviews! Sorry.
Yay! What the heck is that from?
Oh, it's from Goonies. Sorry, no more.
Oh, okay, okay. We want to thank Halt22 for giving us 5 stars, writing us a review, and I love Halt22 because whoever this person is grew up with Voyager, just like we did, and is still appreciating the show to this day, and nothing warms my heart more than hearing the words, "Your show helps me reappreciate a show that I enjoyed when I was growing up." Like, just like kind of rediscovering it all over again. And that's fantastic. I love it. And I went through the same thing a few years ago. I kind of had a period in the 2000s where I didn't watch much Star Trek. And then some fateful day in 2010, I started watching it all over again, fell in love with it all over again, eventually found Trek FM. And here we are to this day. So that's very cool. Thank you for sharing that.
Also, we have a review on Stitcher, and this is a 3-month-old review, and
oops.
We're really sorry, folks, because not too many people leave us reviews on Stitcher, and so we don't check it that often, and we got out of the habit, but Purple Mountain Bike left us a great 5-star review on Stitcher, and we really appreciate it, because people do download stuff from Stitcher. Stitcher's a great
yes.
platform to get podcasts, so we really appreciate you telling other people and rating us that we're doing a great job. It really means a lot to us, so thank you very much.
It does. Thank you so much. It only takes a few minutes of your time, but that really helps us get more noticed in the podcast directories, especially iTunes, because of some weird, fangled way that they have their system. The more reviews we get, the more 5-star ratings we get, the better off we are, and the more people that discover and therefore listen to the show. Mm-hmm. Now, if you have a little bit of spare change, though, please consider going on patreon.com/trekfm and consider becoming a subscriber to the network. There's cool perks in it for you at various donation levels. At $25 a month, you can join the Patrons Roundtable, where a big group of us get together and discuss a Star Trek topic. And that eventually goes into a podcast format in the master feed. So if you want to hear your voice on the network, that's the way to do it. Now, we have some associate producers that we want to thank for supporting TTJ in particular, and those lovely people are Kenneth Tripp, Jamie Deuce, Aaron Harvey, and our newest, Bruce Lish. You can follow Aaron on Twitter, at GeekFilter. Get on Twitter and thank him for supporting To The Journey and let him know how awesome he is. Now, this one's in the can already. What are we doing next week?
What we're doing next week is we are... You know what? I love doing this stuff because it's so much fun. I love looking at a season on a whole. We're doing Essential Trek of Season 3. Essential Trek is something that we stole from Standard Orbit, and it's where we go through each episode from 1 to 25 or however many we have in that season, and we say yay or nay if it's essential to the show or to that season, and whether
yes.
it's crucial to watch. And it's a lot of fun. But you'll have to tune in next week to hear it. So until then, this has been To The Journey.
To the Journey!